Let's go to Roz in Santa Rosa. Roz, what's happening?
Hey there. Morning, guys.
Morning, Roz.
I wanted to say what my favorite Clay moment was. I want to go with a newer moment, maybe one that's more just kind of funny, and it was when he punked out Dylan Brooks a couple of years ago when he got teed up for it. I just loved that because, you know, I haven't ever heard anyone say they like Dylan Brooks, even Grizzly fans or Rocket fans, and he deserved it, and I loved when Clay did that. Of the moments you mentioned on your poll yesterday on Twitter, I really enjoyed the 11 dribbles, 60 points game because it's when we had KD and Steph, but it was kind of like, nope, you guys have to deal with the third guy, and look how amazing he is too. And I remember the Pacers just being like, by halftime, being like, we give up. And then I want to say how excited I am for tonight. I don't know how many people have thought about it, but we're gonna get that moment. I hope it's the first play of the game where either Clay or Steph has the ball and the other guy has to guard him.
Mm.
And that's going to be so fun to see them guarding each other. Like, who's going to try to one-up each other tonight? I think that's going to be so fun.
And then when you get Draymond Green switching out on him, because Draymond Green, look, here's the story Draymond Green said on the Draymond Green show. Here's Draymond, how he's approaching it. We'll get to Rocco and Cleveland in just a second. Here's Draymond Green.
Clay walked up to Kyle like, Kyle, don't be talking to the ops. So then Trav came and told me that Clay said that. Huh? He was like, you think he was serious? And I was like, well, it's Clay, so he's joking. But he's definitely a little serious. Like, but he's joking. But he's definitely serious.
But he's
and
serious.
So sure enough, the next day I'm working out, they come in again after me, and I'm talking to Kyle. And he walk up, Kyle, you talking to the ops?
Wow.
And I said,
love this.
Trav. There's definitely some seriousness to it. He just said the same thing to me. So therefore, I'm going to run through his chest when we play them now.
Ooh.
I wasn't going to. That's where that whole thing came from, because he just like, oh, they're the ops. They're the ops. Obviously, we all love Clay, but
this
to love
game,
Clay
though.
Is to also know that he's going to come in there trying to murder us.
Draymond Green, Baron Davis, and Moses Moody on that podcast. We know we're Draymond. Hey, look, once the ball tips off, they're both going to try to kill each other. This is the Mavericks are desperate for a win. They're 5-5. They just lost a tough one to Denver. They had a 1-point loss to Phoenix last week when Nurkic hit a free throw. They're ticked off. Draymond Green, his competitive nature, saying, I'm not going to let Clay come in our building as we're 8-2. We need to win too. We want to beat Luka and Kyrie. This is a team that beat us 3-4 last season. We need to beat this team. So once the ball gets tipped off, all the love affair and the kumbaya, that's all out the window.
Well, metaphorically running through someone's chest, totally understand it. Like in terms of a mindset, I do hope there's nothing, you know, just nothing. We don't need that. Like we just don't.
Well, you may get it.
I know.
And we'll
I
talk
know.
About it. And you'll love to talk about it. You know you want some drama. You know you want some drama. I mean, Spinotti wants some drama.
Clay.
Luckily wants some drama.
Clay, in the last few years, has shown that, like, if there's someone that disrespects him, he will.
He will talk that talk.
Well, it can get spicy and chippy.
Yes,
I mean,
it will.
Well, him in Minnesota, preceding the Rudy Gobert situation, him and obviously, you know, the guy Devin Booker down in Phoenix, yep. They got into it. Dylan Brooks and him. Like, there's been many moments.
Oh, yeah. No. Clay's going to talk that talk. Let's go to Rocco in Cleveland. Rocco, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on? Appreciate you taking my call. Just wanted to quickly moment, kind of a different one. It's an older one. Quick context, Steph's my favorite player ever coming out of Davidson. That became the case, so that's why I'm a Warriors fan in Cleveland. So I appreciate listening to you guys get my Warriors fixed. But anyway, his second season in the league, Warriors came to Cleveland. I want to say it was like mid-early January. I had never been to an NBA game before. So I finally, you know, saved up enough to get tickets, went with my mom. They announced Steph wasn't playing. He had an ankle issue or something. I was crushed, man. I was like borderline in tears going to the arena, because I wasn't get to see my favorite player. But Clay went out there and put on an absolute show that night. It was his then career high. He scored like 32, 33, I'm a bad fan for not remembering the exact number. But anyway, that just solidified him as like my second favorite player in the league, right behind Steph. Because that just, I mean, he picked up all my sadness that I had going into the arena and just turned it into sheer happiness. Again, put on a show, beat up on the Cavs, and it was just kind of game over from there, man. He, again, just became my second favorite player. I'll never have any hate for him. All love to Clay. Super excited for the game tonight.
Good call, Rocco. Good call. 888-957-9570. If you want to share some of your favorite Clay Thompson moments, what are you looking forward to tonight? How weird is it to see him at that number 31? 888-957-9570. That is the number as we celebrate Clay Day. Clay Day. Here in the Bay Area. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HG1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on a free Odyssey app. We'll do 60 seconds of celebrity in just a second here, but we are giving away a Klay Thompson jersey the 8 o'clock hour, 12 o'clock hour, and the 4 o'clock hour, and you'll have to answer some trivia. So we'll give out the number a little bit later. We'll have that going for you in the 8 o'clock hour again. Three chances to win a Klay Thompson jersey. One during our show, one during Starting and Goo, one during Willard Diz. But you got to listen all day long to find out what is what. I got to go to this montage real quick.
Okay.
Jessica. I got to hear it. We've been talking about it. It's one of my favorite all-time games, playoff games.
Agreed. The Klay Thompson. We're the patient, but Klay fires away. He's got another three. It's an NBA record. 10 threes in a playoff game. 96-92. He's got 36. Westbrook stumbles with a dribble, almost falls down. Stripped by Andre and stolen. Iguodala to Thompson. Right side three for the lead. Got it! Golden State leads with a minute 35 to go. It's 104-101. Klay Thompson has 11 threes in the game.
You ever just watch that game and just fire it up? Because I still get the same goosebumps.
Totally.
That I did when I was watching it live.
Absolutely.
Steph had a great three, too. I mean, it was unbelievable theater, man.
You know what I've thought about many times? Because people bring up, like, the woulda, coulda, shoulda trade situation, obviously, with Kevin Love. And we all remember which side we landed on. I argued till I was blue in the face to my boy Rocco. He wanted K-Love. I did not want to trade Klay Thompson by any means necessary. We argued for days.
I wanted K-Love.
A lot of people did.
But not for the price point that
a lot of
Minnesota
people
was asking. They were asking for King's ransom.
And at the time, the power forward that could rebound was a coveted thing. And we evolved from that thinking quite quickly. But I always think about this. They move off Mark Jackson because we know how important Mark Jackson was to Steph and Clay's career. What if they had hired Van Gundy? You know, like what? How does this thing play out? Like if they hire Van Gundy, does Klay get the freedom and the shots and the looks? Do they win in the playoffs? Do they make the adjustments? Does he have the credibility to be able to balance all of the personalities? I'm talking about the early versions of the team.
Well, Stan Van Gundy, what happens to Draymond Green? Would he value a player like that?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, it's a very underrated storyline because Van Gundy wanted full control. He wanted to be the coach and the GM, but it was like, he ended up getting that Detroit and got fired. It's just like, come on, dude. Like,
he got full control.
Full control. And got fired a couple years later. Just didn't work out for him. That's an underrated storyline because as Steve Kerr was visiting the Knicks and talking to Phil Jackson about taking a Knicks job, and thankfully Kerr's kid, Nick, was going to Cal Berkeley, so he got to be closer to his son. That is a very underrated storyline with Stan Van Gundy. I don't think about that much. But I was very happy they didn't go that direction. I like Stan on the microphone. I think he's a good dude. But I remember at the time thinking, I don't want Stan Van Gundy. I just don't want him.
Well,
I want something new and fresh.
No doubt. And I think when you lost those games to the Clippers, it was pretty evident to me, ISO ball and low efficiency and not a lot of passing. The offense needed a jolt really, really, really bad. But how many times do you hire the greatest coach ever in the history of your organization?
Yeah. You don't.
Very few times. And I think about all the mistakes they could have made. Think of how many different coaches are hired and fired all around the league that they could have, you know, acquired who would have stunted the growth and the freedom and the shot selection of a Klay Thompson.
Yeah. No doubt.
Who would have not known what to do with a Draymond Green. Who would have said, you know, Steph, I got to rein in your shot selection. I want you to play pure point, not kind of the hybrid way that you're playing. Like I think a lot about Steve Kerr and his system. And it fit each one of those three superstars to a T. enhanced each one of them too.
I'm looking at this box score with OKC Game 6. The Thunder went 3 of 23 from three.
Oof.
KD was 1 for 8.
What was Serge?
12 for 5. Serge was 1 for 6. The Warriors outscored the Thunder 33-18 in that fourth quarter to send it to a Game 7. I mean, it's just not only because of my Warrior bias, but when I think about all the great playoff games I've watched in my lifetime, whether it's Rocket Suns coming back from 20, Suns coming back from 20, or the kiss of death with Mario Ellie, Game 6 Jordan, which one? Steve Kerr, the Bulls coming back against the Blazers in Game 6 from 19 down. They putting on the full court press in the fourth quarter. Old Chicago Stadium. Reggie Miller in the choke side at Madison Square Garden Game 5, even though they would end up losing that series in 7. It's one of my favorite playoff games of all time. All time. It's one of my favorite series of all time. And you could take the – I could be from Cleveland. I could be from Toronto. You just think about that series and the legacies that were built. Even though the Warriors lost that championship and, you know, we try to forget about Game 7 and what happened then. But Klay Thompson felt like he was coming out of his shell after that first championship. So then this is the second year where they're trying to go back-to-back. And it felt like it cemented his Warriors legacy with that Game 6. Like, he could do no wrong after that Game 6. Now he goes over in the play-in game last season, and I know people want to harp on that. But that Game 6, like, out of nowhere, was like, wow, I didn't know Klay had this in him.
I think the fearlessness in the face of elimination is what made him such a superhero, you know, and his ability to take... I mean, some of the shots, if you just go back to that, to think about where the game was 10 years ago, taking the shots he was taking, so quick in the shot clock, so quick off of a pin down. I mean, it's unreal.
Up,
like, I'll never forget some of those shots. Like, oh my God!
The Westbrook shot at the top of the key where he wasn't even squared up at the hoop.
Unreal.
And he still makes it. And then you look at the bench and they're like, what is going on here?
It was Red Dead Redemption, the video game. Like he was locked in.
Unbelievable game.
Max Payne. I don't know if you've ever played those video games, but you know what I'm talking about.
I know about Max Payne. Never really got into it, though.
Well, they had this like button. You'd click R1, it like automatically like locked in on the target. No matter where you were, it would like hit them right in between the eyes. I don't know. It's old video games.
Max Payne.
But Klay was like a video game.
It was
specifically in that game.
It was unreal. Unreal. He followed up with 21 in Game 7. Steph had a 36-8 in Game 7 against OKC. It was a fascinating game. OKC was up double figures. OKC was up double figures. I still get goosebumps with Steph. I know it's Klay Day, but at the end of Game 5, down 3-1, Westbrook walks into the Oracle Arena. I'll never forget he's wearing all black. And I'm like, oh, gosh. Westbrook.
That aged well.
Dude, I mean, it was wild. They were talking that talk. They were feeling good. And Steph's dribbling the ball. And you see the zoom in on TNT. We ain't going home. We ain't going home, man. That's iconic, man. I know everything.
If you would have told Westbrook that moment when they were at 3-1.
Why'd you play that drop?
I thought it was the Stephen Curry, I know everything, because they're labeled the exact same thing. So I apologize.
If I would have told Westbrook that day, you're never going to win a championship. And in fact, you're going to bounce around to a zillion teams. There's no way he believes you.
I know everything.
Well, he would have. Maybe have some words for you.
For sure he would have had some words for
you. You know, I've got that of Westbrook experience.
But we had the last laugh.
The Westbrook experience is one of the eights. By the way, speaking of Draper, Kings lost by 20 yesterday to the San Antonio Spurs.
The NBA has a problem right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, they got beat by 20.